minute. Let's read one verse and then close our Bible. Just one. The text verse is 1 Corinthians 1:9. If you have a good reference Bible, it's on page 695. Okay, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to see how faithful you are. And in particular, what this verse said, in fellowship. And I do pray and ask that you'd help us to see how faithful you are and to appreciate it and then respond in kind and learn how to do that throughout our week, every moment, in Jesus' name, amen. So God is faithful. You know, God is truly amazing. In his patience and persistence to fellowship with man. I mean, if you just look at your own life, aren't you appreciative of his persistence and his patience in our fellowship? I mean, man sins against God. He shuns God. He purposely hates God. Any part of these acts, pretends that God doesn't exist, pretends to worship God and befriend him, counterfeits God, mocks God, uses God for personal gain, expects God to compromise to fellowship with the individual, yet God seeks fellowship. With all of that, I mean, it is reasonable for man to come to God on his terms, and his terms will be holiness and righteousness. I mean, it's just amazing about the persistence and patience of God. Now, the devil's persistent also, but he's persistent in the destruction of the individual. But God persistently and patiently waits for an individual to reciprocate his fellowship. In Genesis 3, after Eve was deceived and then Adam purposely rejected the Lord's plan there and received his wife over God, God is the one that sought to restore the fellowship. He's the one that sought to restore that fellowship. The first question in the Bible is when Satan casts doubt on what God said. But the first question that God asks is, where art thou? Where are you at? The first question in the New Testament by a man is, where is he that's born King of the Jews? So the first question is very similar. One is, where are you? Where art thou, Adam? And in the New Testament, Herod said, where is he that's born King of the Jews? But the intent of each similar question were totally different in that God wanted to restore fellowship and Herod wanted to kill him. Isn't that something about God? God patiently and persistently would still try to seek fellowship with Herod, even though Herod sought to kill him. I mean, the God of the Bible is simply amazing. I mean, sin hindered and ruined that fellowship, but Enoch walked with God, and God said, hey, why don't you come on up and spend a day with me? And he did, and he still has been. And Noah walked with God, and God saved him. But most people simply, they want the benefits of God, but they don't want God in their life. That's what they are. But now, because of that, because they don't want God in their life, yet God has placed a conscience in them. And so that conscience saying is telling them, you ought to desire fellowship with God. But they don't want that desire. And so in order to appease that conscience, this is where religion steps in. Religion steps in where it appeases the conscience, but yet it also sears the conscience. And religion is man trying to get God to fellowship with man on man's terms. That's what religion does. Okay, and then, but yet God wants to fellowship with man, but God, it's reasonable that God desires his fellowship, but we got to come to him on his terms. Now, Satan creates these religions, if you have that one text verse still available. In chapter 10, many of these religions are actually worshiping the devil. It's a counterfeit. Now, if you tell them that, they would be shocked. They'd probably be upset. But that's the deceptiveness of it. 1 Corinthians 10:20 says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. But that's the deceptiveness of the serpent, where Jesus said, the thief cometh for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So you got those two opposites there. But Jesus has offered life and life abundantly, but yet that's his offer, but it's got to be on a voluntary basis. If you would look at Luke 24. This is one of the characteristics of Christianity, of the many unique characteristics of Christianity that we have in the New Testament, or that we have throughout the Bible, where God has everything on a voluntary basis. Okay, in Luke 24, toward the end of the chapter, middle toward the end, you kind of skim down through there. And basically, this is often called the road to Emmaus. It's a couple people. I don't know if it's a couple men. Maybe it's a husband and wife. It appears to be a couple men talking, and they're talking about the events of the week, the crucifixion and whatnot. And then the Lord Jesus walks beside them, comes along, walks beside them. So you got two men walking. They're talking about what's going on, and they're shocked that this individual didn't know what happened this past week. And then he just off the cuff said, a good way to start a conversation is, oh, fools and slow of heart. You know, I'm not recommending that, you know. Norman Vincent Peale would not have that in his, you know, way to influence people. But yet he started off that way. And then he started pointing out things throughout the Old Testament concerning the events of the week and about himself. But they didn't know it was him yet. And so in verse 25, you see that, 26, and then 27, he starts running. And as he's running through the chronology of the prophecies of the Old Testament about the events of the past week and himself, not telling them that's him, it blessed them. They got a blessing out of it. And then they come to this fork in the road, or at least one of them's going to turn off into the village in verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. You know the thing, you know. Would you like another piece of pie? No. Would you like another piece of pie? Oh, sir. Oh, my missus made some wonderful coffee cake, and we had it down in Rinseltuck this morning, and ooh, that was good stuff. He made as though he's going to go further. And then it says in the next verse, and they constrained him. Our part is to constrain him. Why? Because just like you and I want to be voluntarily loved, God wants a voluntary love also. You know, one of the things as parents is we have children with the anticipation of a voluntary fellowship. That's the anticipation. And so I'm going to give you some thoughts about fellowship with God. Now, I'm talking about you individually, personally. Here we are as a corporate body, and some churches have different ways of doing things. Baptists, some Baptists like to do what they call shouting and yelling and screaming. And some of them like to really get with it and actually run the bases. You know, I get a kick out of going to those places. You know, I'm not going to be one to run the bases. I'd rather do it with a ball and a bat, you know, and a glove. And of course, they're going to try to justify their behavior by saying, well, if you were at a sports game, you'd be yelling and screaming like we are right now. And no, I wouldn't be. I could just sit there. I'd be terrible for an example of trying to get excitement at a sports contest, because I could just sit there and watch it. That was okay, you know, that's fine, I mean, it depends on your personality. But I kind of sit there and I enjoy watching these people, and I also analyze it. You know, why are they shouting at that song at that point? Is it the words or is it the beat? A lot of times it's the beat. And I'm not saying they're wrong in that, but the only way you can really express yourself in your fellowship with God is by yourself. That's the really true intent when you're alone with God. Now, you could do it amongst people, but it's when you're really alone with God, and when you walk through a woods and you're admiring and loving the creation that God has created, in your heart, you're also hopefully loving the Creator for what He's done. And this is a fellowship. That's the purpose. In Revelation 4, verse 11, basically, like Sam Gipps says, this is the Bible in a nutshell, Revelation 4:11, and I would dare say, yeah, he's right in that. This is the purpose of the creation, of everything that God has created, the visible, the invisible, where the scientist is looking in his microscope lab, looking at the creation, is he considering the Creator at the same time? Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. A lot of times, older folks, we like to put up a bird feeder because we like to watch the birds come in, and then you maybe put a little trap if you got squirrels, you know, and catch the squirrels so they don't take the feed, you know, all that stuff. But you like to do that, and maybe those birds early in the morning as they're chirping and singing, maybe they're fellowshipping with God. Maybe that the Lord has a bird language that He knows. You know, we're living in a day where people don't want to use the English words, and they say Yah and Yahweh and Yeshua and... Hey, if they want to do that, I don't care if they do that. I don't know their intent. Maybe their intent is want to say the Hebrew word so God is spoken in His name, but they're not even pronouncing it the right way anyway. I mean, if your name's Jim, what if somebody come up and say, how you doing, him and him and him? Oh, the J is silent, M and M and M. Well, if you're going to say my Hebrew words, at least get a hocker in your throat so you can say it the right way. I mean, that's the only way to do that in Israel. If you listen to those people talk. I mean, I asked a guide when I was there, do you know where the spring of Gihon? I said, I know I'm saying it wrong. Gihon. They said, Gihon, never heard of that, Gihon. And so then he went to one of the guides and said, Gihon. He said, it's Gihon. I said, that's probably it, yes. And when he told me where it was right. It was right. But we can't pronounce those things. Now, is a person doing that to impress you with their spirituality? I know Hebrew words. You know translated Hebrew words. Transliterated, that's what you know. And I don't know the intent. Now, if the intent is right, good, fine, hunky-dory, no problems with me. But is it designed to impress? That's not spirituality. So the first thing is the purpose of the creation is for the pleasure of God. The second aspect is this, is God wants each of us to fellowship with him. No matter what you're doing, playing a game, playing, you know, sport, working, driving down the road, trying to prevent road rage, and all that stuff. The main aspect is a fellowship with God. If you would look in Romans 8, how do we do that? How do we do that? Romans 8. Now remember when the Lord approached the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he said, as in their discussion, in the process, he said to her, he said, "Woman, you don't know what you worship." He was taking a slam at her religious affiliation. "You don't know what you're doing." And then he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We know who we worship. So how do we fellowship with this God? Romans 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Okay, carnally, carnivorous, carnival. Okay, when you go to these places, a carnival, you can still be spiritually minded. Okay, you can still do that. Now, spiritually minded doesn't mean you got your collar turned around backwards and you walk around, "Bless you, my child, bless you, my child." I mean, that's a show. You know, and it doesn't mean that you say, "Oh, praise the Lord," about everything. Sure, it can accidentally come out. I've been at auto parts stores, wasn't expecting to get the part. And they say, "Oh, yeah, we got that part." And I just off the cuff, "Praise the Lord," you know, and there's like, he cares about it. Yeah, he cares about anything in your life. He cares about that. One place I was at a place and they had this tent sale and I need to get a bunch of tarps. And so they said, "How many you want?" And I told them how many you want. And there's two guys at the counter. One is the cast ready and one standing behind him. The one behind him said, "Holy shit." And I said, "You know, last I checked, it wasn't holy." And the other guy laughed and he said, "Well, he got to there." So, on the spot witnessing, when people bring it up, a spiritual reaction is take that opportunity to try to get them to think about God. You see, that's a spiritual mind as far as that goes. It's not a, you know, at a church activity where, you know, maybe it's a hoot and hollering thing and they're throwing the hymn books. Sure, that's funny to watch, but what if you hit somebody in the back of the head? And you're trying to sing and you're ducking, you know, all this stuff. Where's the spirituality in that? Sure, I enjoy it, you know, but it's just not my personality. And it's not saying sometimes those folks that are the most emotional ones, when things happen in their life, that emotion runs them away from God too. The Lord's looking for some steady, not a big up and down and up and down. He's looking for steady. That's what the fruit of the Spirit will do for a person: love, joy, peace, and then at the end, temperance, faith. You see, this is what the Lord expects from us. You see, God created his creation. The creation is like physical toys for God to play with, to watch. When I was a kid, I had farm animals and tractors. And I'd sit there, and this horse and all this stuff. And I was just practicing what I thought I was going to do in life is be a farmer. And kids, girls play with dolls. Of course, nowadays, of course, Barbie now is transgendered and all that stuff. And it's just absolute nonsense what's happening in our culture. Today, boys need to create and conquer like God who creates and takes dominion. Today, boys look at screens and push buttons and pretend to conquer. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm saying we need both. We need a physical activity where give the kid a stick and go out in the woods and get poison ivy. You know, I mean, and all that stuff. I mean, the purpose of play is growth in life, and it develops a proper companionship. Kids need to play outside. Get outside and play. So the main aspect of this pleasure of God is the fellowship with man. The main aspect of biblical Christianity is personal fellowship with the Lord and the Holy Ghost. It's personal relationship. Pagan deities desire no personal relationship with their clones. They don't desire that. You know, Buddha, Muhammad, and, you know, all these things, they don't have any personal relationship with their followers. If you would look in 1 John chapter 1, fellowship. Fellowship, what is fellowship? Two fellows in a ship. Nothing big about that. And they're in a ship, and like one guy told me, a Catholic guy told me, he said, why do you invite a Baptist to go fishing with you? And I said, why is that? Because he'll drink all the beer. I thought the Catholic would drink all the beer. But he had to switch that thing. But it don't matter. 1 John 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, to try to explain that to somebody, that there is an inner joy that you have because of your fellowship with God. And it's hard to explain that to people. But it's a joy that I don't need to spend money to make it happy. I don't need to go anywhere to make it a good relationship. It's just there. And it's an inner joy. And then he says in verse 5, this then is a message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It's not saying they're lost. It's just saying they're not in fellowship with God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So it's funny. In the Old Testament, the word fellowship is only found twice, and it's not even dealing with fellowship with the Father. And it's found 15 times in the New Testament. The first mention is in Acts 2:42, where they had doctrine and fellowship. But the follow-up program, a lot of times you hear about follow-up programs. Look, if you would, in Acts 11. This is the program that Barnabas had in Acts 11. Barnabas is over in Jerusalem, and there's a lot of spiritual things happening in Antioch because God is transitioning from Jerusalem up to Antioch, and this is north of Jerusalem, Antioch of Syria. And the people in Jerusalem had heard, wow, all these Gentiles are getting saved and are seeking after God. And so Barnabas was sent to go down there in Acts 11:22. He said, then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he saw all these people came to Christ, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. No, not cleave unto an ideology, not cleave unto a church per se, not cleave unto the fundamentals, cleave unto the Lord, not cleave unto the man of God. It's cleave unto the Lord. And then it says about him personally, for he was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much, much people was added unto the Lord. You see, fellowship means a close and mutual agreed companionship. All a believer can just rest in the love of God himself, the depth, the height, the breadth of the length of the love of God. Just rest in that, and then we're really not concerned about the love of others. I mean, that's the sprinkles on the cake. But to rest in the love of God is amazing. And if a person in this fellowship, if we have a tender heart to learn to recognize the voice of God. Now, when I say the voice of God, I'm not saying that he's going to, you know, put in the sky the great big letters, big bold, and it says GPC. And a person says, oh, that means go preach Christ. It could be go plow corn. Who knows what that is? You know, PTL, I think that really means pass the loot. Or it could be pull the leg. Because, boy, they sure pull a lot of legs on the PTL club. If that's even around, I don't know. I found out that after they got the makeup off of Tammy Faye, they found out where Jimmy Hoffa was the whole time. And so it's just pull the leg and all this stuff. And it's just, you know, Elijah made fun of this stuff. He made fun of this religious shenanigans. People don't like it when you do that. I get a kick out of it. You know, they see people, some people so spiritual. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to say, stuff it in your ear. You know, sometimes I want to say that. I don't say that. Now, if it's sincere, praise the Lord. Now, I don't know. I gotta know that. I got to act like it's sincere. I don't know. God's reading their heart. He's reading my heart. And so the only true way to express yourself to the Lord, I say, is by yourself. Sing to the Lord. Now, if you don't have a good tune, you can't even hold the bucket. That's why you want to do it by yourself. Roll the windows up in the car. I mean, when I right after high school, I took two trips out on a motorcycle. You know, I had a Kawasaki 900. I bought it for my brother. Gave him 500 and six hogs. And so that's how we traded for that thing. And so the first year, a friend and I, another farmer friend and I, and we went out to the Northwest, came down the Pacific Highway there, saw the redwoods, and came back this way. And then the second year, we went 6,000 miles. We went down through the Southwest. And that one I really planned out. And the first year, we got along pretty good. You know, I'm saved. He's lost. He really wasn't into the, you know, the bars and all that stuff. The second year, we kind of started, you know, and so Dad said, the first thing you got to do is get your Bible out, read it first night, right in front of him. And that kind of set the stage. Okay, but, you know, but I'm going through Colorado, you know, going past the Black Canyon of the Gunnison, and I'm just singing away, you know, how great thou art. You know, I'm not a spiritual guy, but I was just singing away. It didn't dawn on me that people could hear me. You know, I think that was the same place where we were traveling a little bit too fast, I think, and an officer came in this way, and so we kind of tromped it, maybe got up to 90, 100, and found a campground, pulled right into the campground, you know, hey, Ossifer, we're doing pretty good. And so we got out of that one. That's another spiritual thing that I do on occasion. But the idea is we can hear the voice of God if we really pay attention. Now, I'm not saying audible, but it could be audible. How could it be audible? Through someone else. Now, people gravitate toward the spectacular, okay? They, visions, apparitions, and seances, and the paranormal, and angels, and special messengers, and Moses had a dream he was telling me about that maybe he's got a special dream that he had. And I've got weird dreams. Don't we got all weird dreams? My dreams are really strange. My dreams are usually I'm standing here, and then I look down, and I forgot to put my pants on. That's my dreams. And then I don't want to stand, you know, I want to stay back here and everybody go home and all that stuff. Those are, you know, those nightmares that you have. But a lot of times it's a tender quiet voice that the Lord speaks to us. You see, Elijah, after, a lot of people rail on Elijah, but man, what a man to stand against an entire nation by himself. And then he got depressed. And it's sad that he got depressed, but hey, that's part of it. He got depressed, and then the Lord says, I need to talk to you, but I'm not going to do it through the spectacular. I'm going to do it through a small voice. And if we pay attention, you might be hearing the Lord without realizing it. Sometimes the Lord's voice comes through your children, through small kids. Pay attention to that voice. Naaman and Mrs. Naaman, she was crying because Naaman got the leprosy, and they had taken a little Jewish girl captive. And so here this little Jewish girl heard Mrs. Naaman crying, and she found out she was crying because he's got leprosy. And she just innocently said, well, if you'd go to my prophet, he'd be able to heal you. And the guy heard from God through a kid. Samuel thought he heard from God through Eli. And then on the third time, finally, Eli figured it out. God's speaking to you, and he's just a young boy. Josiah was quite a man. But yet, at the end of his life, he failed to hear from God through a pagan king. I didn't know God can speak through a pagan king. Yes, he can. He might speak through a lost friend of yours if we pay attention. Many of them throughout the Bible had dreams and visions, obviously. Balaam failed to hear from God through an animal. You mean an animal can talk to us about God? That's right. Yeah. I mean, our dog can answer certain questions. You know, if you ask him what's on top of the house, he'll say, roof. What's sandpaper feel like? Roof. I mean, he's pretty good at that. But Job chapter 12 says that you and I can learn from the animals. Aren't dogs loyal? Wow, that's something. And birds of a feather flock together. Why is that? There's something about that. The Lord says we can learn from the animals. Jeremiah heard from God through an everyday illustration. The Lord said, hey, Jeremiah, I need you to go down. I want you to go down to this potter's house. I don't go to a potter's house. Go down to this potter's house. And there he is just watching a guy on the potter wheel, and the Lord spoke to him. A lot of times you can hear it when you're working on a car. You can hear the Lord speaking through maybe the person that's helping you work on the car, or on the job, or on a sports activity. I've listened to sports activities, and I've heard announcers say on a rookie quarterback, boy, he got a baptism of fire. And I thought, where'd he get that from? Was he an announcer that was raised in Sunday school and then has forsaken God? Isaac heard from God through his father. Jacob heard from God through his son, Joseph. Aaron heard from God through his brother. Come on, who can listen to your siblings, right? The Lord can speak through them. If we pay attention, we have a tender heart. Joshua heard from God through his mentor and shepherd, Moses. Abraham heard from God through his missus. And his missus heard from God through her husband. David heard from God while watching sheep. While he's out there watching sheep, you know, swatting his fly off him, you know, swatting that fly off him and everything. And then he sees, you know, something. He takes his sling and he's practicing out there. And that one sheep's out of order. So he takes that thing and hits it right in the rump and gets it right where it's supposed to be. I mean, if you do that with hogs and they have a tail, their tail goes around like a helicopter. I mean, you say, how do you know that? Because I've done that. And if you want to ride something, ride a hog. Better than a horse. You just jump on the back, grab the ears, and go on with it. You just don't want to get thrown off in the wrong place. But you see, Peter heard from God while fishing. Yeah, we can hear from him. Esther heard from God through her uncle. Ruth was blessed by God when she was gleaning barley. The Ethiopian eunuch heard from God through Philip. Cornelius heard from God through Peter. Joseph heard from God during a dilemma in his life. The Lord spoke to him while he's sitting in prison and talked to him. Nebuchadnezzar heard from God through Daniel. Rehoboam refused to hear from God through the elderly. America is terrible on this. American generation, they throw off the elderly. A lot of wisdom people are missing out on. You can hear from God. Ezekiel heard from God when he was a captive of war. If you would look in Ephesians chapter 4, you might be surprised when you're praying about something, you might hear from the Lord through a source you would not think. And a lot of times you got to weed it out of a conversation, and sometimes the Spirit of God will pick it up. Hey, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I mean, all these years, growing up on the farm, the neighbor across the road, John and Velda Ross, I fortunately led John to the Lord late in his life, got to preach his funeral. And even Velda asked me to preach hers, but then her kids didn't want me to preach the funeral. And here you got this little farm kid, and all these farmers come to hear the funeral for John and Velda. And John, and, you know, and he had a couple grandkids that we would goof off. They'd come in the summertime because they lived in Missouri. They'd come up and stay with Grandpa for a couple months, and we'd goof off. But John told me a couple things, and I'm like, why would he tell me that? And I'm like, why do I remember this? And he told me one time, Dave, he said, it doesn't matter what people are saying about you just as long as they're talking. Why would you say that to a teenage kid? Why would I remember that? That's helped me a lot in the ministry. Really helped me a lot. And here's a guy. One time John said that he was cultivating corn. It was 9 in the morning. He was tired and wanted to lay down for a little morning snooze. And he woke up when the sun was going down. But listen to what the Lord has these things in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. And notice true holiness. What does that imply? There's a fake holiness. True holiness is like saying wet water. It's redundant, but yet it's true. There's a form of godliness where he said, but denying the power thereof. And if you would, one more place, Proverbs chapter 23. I would dare say that if we live a life seeking a fellowship with God, and we spend our time, we do our part studying the book and trying to attain sound doctrine. And when there comes a time where somebody asks you a Bible question, or why you have this joy, why do you have a peace about you? And then we could just very simply give a very simple answer, and then their eyes light up. That's one of the greatest joys, to watch their eyes light up. Because you know they got it. They just experienced inspiration is what they did. But you know, right beside, you can't see it, but right in this invisible world, there's a God that's rejoicing. Proverbs 23:15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. That's why it says that there's rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. But there's rejoicing in heaven also when you and I give the right answer to the right person at the right time with the right spirit. And there's a God that's rejoicing. We're a blessing to God. And so this is the intent of God, is to fellowship, but yet we got to constrain him to fellowship with us. We have to seek that fellowship because he wants the voluntary fellowship. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to remember that our most important relationship is the one that each and every one of us have with thee. Maybe we're pounding nails. Maybe we're sawing, or or whatever. Maybe we're working in the house. Wherever we're at, just sort of, kind of like that show on, Fiddle on the Roof, where that guy would just up and talk to you. At times he was, a little bit, but yet there's the idea. There's the concept that we're tender-hearted. Just seek and hear your voice from any source, and I think we'd be surprised, and that each and every one of us can have a fellowship with thee. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. If you'd like to use the altar, it's open for you. Fellowship with the Lord. Through your sorrow, through your offenses of life, this is the bottom line. This is the bottom line of why a baby is born. That's a potential fellowship with the Lord God. The Lord is desiring each and every one of us on our way home, on this fellowship, the rest of the day, on Monday, Tuesday. We're not talking about being super spiritual, self-righteous. It's just a fellowship, down-to-earth fellowship with the Lord. Lord, I do pray and ask you'd help each and every one of us to recognize your voice. Help us to be able to sift it through all this information, all the words that we hear, and we can sift through it and then harvest the seed. And all the chaff will go out into the field. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be people that seek to fellowship with thee. In Jesus' name, amen.